This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. And I'm sitting here outside the pub. It's the back in the pub. It's absolutely amazing to be back in the pub after so long, really. I mean, we've been back to the pub, obviously, to have a drink and everything like that. But as you know, the podcasts have all been virtual. We've been in the virtual joint, sitting there, pretending that we're in the pub, drinking our lemon juices and our apple juices and our teas and the Lapsang Souchong, as they do back in the West Country. But we thought, let's forget all of that. Let's get back to real football. Let's get back to proper podcasting. Let's get back to Premier League.
Let's get back to the pub.
Let's get back to the pub. That's exactly what we've done. And we're sitting here outside the pub that we always come to. It's the Globe in Brentford, West London. My name is Billy Grant and I'm sitting there with a big smile on my face, a big pint in my hand, as I'm getting ready to talk about lots and lots of football with my chums around here. And I've got the Allard in the house. The Allard, how are you?
I'm very good. And like you said, great to be back in the pub. We've had a little pre-season back in the pub, didn't we? But now we're doing it for real.
That's right, doing it for real, most definitely. You've got Laney in the house. Laney, what's going down?
Yeah, no, it's good to be back in the boozer. It seems to be like a lack of restrictions now. We haven't got to be kind of like masked up and on tables of two and having to eat while we're talking and all that kind of stuff. So it seems like normality is returning. And then we've got a massive game to look forward to on Friday with a full house at our new stadium, and I just can't wait.
I can't wait either as well. And like I said to you, you know, as we do in the Besotted podcast, when we're not doing it online and we're in the pub, sometimes we get somebody to come in on enemy territory. You know, sometimes a QPR fan, sometimes a Fulham fan, you know, sometimes it might be Forest fans, we've had Derby fans, we've had all sorts of characters here sharing a pint with us and chatting. But this time we've actually got an Arsenal fan in the house. Darren is in the house. Arsenal fan, how you doing, Darren?
Oh, doing very well, thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for having us as well. Thanks for having you. Thanks for coming on as well. I'm sitting there looking as you've got your elbow on a book, which is an Arsenal book that you seem to have written, is it?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. This is my new book, Over Land and Sea and Lockdown, Arsenal, the Corona Diaries. It's
what's about? Come on, just tell us.
Well, it's it started out as a diary of the football season last season, but once lockdown and everything else started happening, the pandemic, things started to change. The whole landscape of the football world started to change. And so that's what I'm covering. It's talking about being a football fan, being an Arsenal fan, but, you know, being a football fan as well during the pandemic, where we couldn't go to stadiums anymore. Football just became this TV show that we was all watching, you know.
And
it's about living through that, you know.
Well, that sounds really quite interesting, actually. I might have to meet a copy of you and go and read it on the toilet a little bit later.
Yes, well, it's a good
bog read. It's one of the funniest books I've published. It's a very serious era, but the way Darren writes, it's very funny. It's a laugh out loud funny book. Actually,
no, it sounds all good. So, we're all sitting around here, and I mean, you've obviously talking about the, you know, written about the pandemic, you know, which we've been talking about how you've been feeling obviously over the past 18 months. We've talked about it a lot online on the Besotted podcast, and even, you know, whenever we're chatting ourselves on the phone, on WhatsApp or whatever like that. And it's been a really weird sort of 18 months, couple of years, but, you know, we saw this return to normality for us at the semi-final of the playoffs. You know, that was like all of a sudden we felt like, you know, normalities were, you know, coming back. And then obviously we had the final as well, which we went to, which we were very lucky to go to, because a lot of fans still hadn't seen live football then. And it's really interesting to go and watch, you know, sitting down there, and very lovely to sit down and turn the TV on and start watching sort of Nottingham Forest versus whoever they're playing and all this sort of championship games that we're not involved in. But what was really nice is sort of seeing the mates from the championship tweeting and talking about how they were so happy just to be back in the stadium. They almost like didn't care what the result was, like, you know what I'm saying. It was happy to be singing, the referees chanting. Did you see that chart, that tweet about Steve Evans as well? Steve Evans got a red card, didn't he?
Did
as
he?
Well, down at Crawley. Yeah, he got red, you know. And they said Steve Evans got a red card because he's not a Crawley obviously anymore. And they were playing Crawley, the team that he managed. He's got red carded, and all apparently the stadium erupted. I can't imagine Crawley erupting myself, like, you know. But
I'm not sure. I think the Preston fans, the getting back in the stadium didn't last that long for them.
That's right. So, but like I said to you, the return to normality is there. I mean, how has it been for you? And this, you know, just coming up to this season, the Allard, I'm just interested in, you know, how has it been for you?
I think the big step was the semi-final of the playoffs, where I just remember being really excited about going to football again. Wembley was obviously the next thing, and then I think that's when I went back to football, if that makes sense. And now this is actually, I know we talk about it being going back to football, but in a lot of respects for me, this is about what is the Premier League and what's it going to offer us this season, you know. It's not
actually just about going back to football for us. We've actually got that bonus of being at the top table. So it's you know, it's super exciting in a stadium that we're, you know, we missed out on moving into properly. We've only had kind of like little baby samples of it with, you know, a handful of people compared to the, you know, the 17,500 or whatever it's going to be. So, you know, we are jumping off straight into the deep end, which is like super exciting.
I think that's the point, isn't it? Is that it's kind of like every time. So we've gone back to football and we've kind of done that. And we did it because of the playoffs. And we've got to remember, a lot of the other supporters who weren't in the playoffs, they wouldn't have gone back to football till last weekend, certainly from the championship.
So we've
done it in steps. Yeah, we've got a bit of experience of it, and we've done it in steps. And these steps are sort of, you know, we're still climbing these steps. And I suppose, I'm not saying we're reaching the top step, are we? But it feels kind of like we are on Friday.
I'm going to ask you a question then, because I'm going to come to Dave as well. Because obviously, like I said, Arsenal fan, you know, coming to the game on Friday. But I'm going to ask you a question then, because obviously we've had a bit of experience, as we said, about this. We had the semi final when other teams haven't, and then we've got the Wembley. We had the final. The fans, you know, we've actually got into football mode. And then we've had the three friendlies and Valencia and everything like that. And all of a sudden I'm looking at other fans and they're like, oh my God, it's the first time I've been back at football for like nearly 2 years. And Arsenal, you know, they haven't had that many games. So do you think as fans we're going to be more experienced in the stadium than they are?
Yeah, I think we will. I think we all know how important experience is, don't we?
Yeah, well, you know, I still think it's only, as I said, baby steps. You know, it's Friday's a big learning curve. We're gonna, you know, it's the first time we're gonna be properly immersed in, you know, in a bigger crowd. You know, obviously I went to the European Cup final, the Europa Cup final at Wembley, and that was a big crowd. But in terms of your club, This is the first step, and you know we're almost back. Within 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to be used to this.
European Championships final as well.
They're the ones.
That's the one that
I was going to say. Who did you go and see there?
This is the thing. I mean, we've got no experience of the Premier League. None of us, nobody I know is a Brentford supporter, has got any experience of playing at the top level. And I think also worked out our players have got about 35 minutes of experience of the Premier League, which we can probably talk about later. But I don't know if a team's come into the Premier League with less experience than us, 35 minutes in terms of players and no minutes obviously in terms of supporters.
That's right. So listen, we're going to have a little break because we're so happy to be in the pub. We need to go to the bar, get ourselves a little drink, and when we come back we're going to talk a little bit more about this Arsenal game. So, like I said, we're coming into the season now, and we've had a bit of a pre-season between us. You know, Brentford have played a few games. Myself and Laney talked about it on the podcast on Sunday, the weekend roundup. I think we started to call that. We might change the name next week, but we'll see how it goes. And we talked about the matches that we've played, talked about the players, gave our little thoughts there as well. You can check that out on prideofwest.london as well, as you can check out all our podcasts as well. Like, you know, you can see that as well. But, I mean, Yallard, again, you know, the friendlies that we've played, from what I can gather, Bees fans seem to be fairly happy with what's been going on. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel the same. Unusually for friendlies, it looks like that we've actually got a plan. We've got the players to execute the plan, and we're going into the season kind of knowing what we're going to do. I think there's a slight that you could tweak the formation one way or the other. Maybe we'll talk about that, but when we talk about the game in more details. But it seems, for me, it was a really solid pre-season schedule. We played two Premier League games. We played a very good Spanish side, they were kind of the three key games. We had an away game at Man United, which I think was probably a really good idea, because it gave the players the opportunity to experience, you know, going away to a big stadium and stuff like that. I thought that was a really good idea, and I really felt against Valencia, I could see what we'd sort of planned and how we were going to execute it. It just, yeah, it all seems to have slotted pretty much into place. Often with pre-season, you sort of come out of it not really, sometimes even you kind of can see what they're going to do in the first game, but you're not really convinced that's what they should do. But it just feels like we're rolling. I think there's only like one or two positions up for grab before the game starts on Friday.
And did you think we stepped it up because we're in the Premier League, or do you think we stepped it up because we're learning?
I think we had to step it up because we're in the Premier League. There doesn't seem any reason for me for us to sort of go on a tour of lower league clubs and use that as a pre-season sort of thing, which is what happens often. Like, you know, we would be maybe playing an old Championship club and stuff like that, but it seemed like we really decided that we needed to step up the opposition and test the players out.
And I mean, Darren, I mean, your pre-season as well, again, you know, there's Brentford fans out there that listen to this, Arsenal fans out there listening to it as well. I mean, I've heard a few murmurings, and it seemed like the Arsenal fans weren't particularly happy with how your pre-season's been going.
Yeah, it's pretty much the complete opposite to what Matt's just said, basically. You know, any Arsenal fan out there that's listening will know that our pre-season hasn't gone well at all. And they'll also know that there's been a lot of debate about how well our pre-season has gone or hasn't gone. When I say debate, obviously, I mean, you know, arguments.
Ranting.
ranting, yeah, that's it. That's the word I was looking for. And you know, I'd like to say that I'm not too worried about pre-season games. You know, I have said that, but obviously the closer it gets and the worse we're playing, and you know, like Matt was saying about it, it looks like you've got a plan. It doesn't look like we've got much of a plan at all. I remember saying throughout last season that Arteta could be using the whole of last season as a long pre-season for this season, you know, like we've been saying about. Now we're back in the grounds, now football's back as it should be. I was hoping, you know, that we'd be able to, you know, hit the ground running in pre-season games, not just, you know, the actual, once the season actually kicks off. But having said that, I've been following Arsenal so long to know that you just don't know what to expect. You know,
so I mean, I'm just going to ask a question. I know the LR's going to come in a minute. I mean, you're talking about pre-season. What happened in pre? Because I've got no idea. I mean, I know you played Tottenham a bit and you played a few other games, but what happened and what were you happy with?
Well, we lost to Chelsea and Tottenham for a start, which is enough to make most Arsenal fans unhappy. It was disrupted a little bit as well, where the pre-season tour in America had to be cancelled, obviously because of the coronavirus restrictions and the travel restrictions. I don't even know what it was for, to be honest.
So that was the cup in Florida that basically in the end there was like only sort of one team competing in. So
might
have
won that.
Yeah, I think they might have.
You know, you never know, mate. Might not have done. Yeah. But we had a couple of quickly, hastily arranged friendlies. One was against Millwall. I can't even remember who the other one was against. I think it was Watford, actually. And but obviously, I think most of us were looking at the mind series games against Chelsea and against Tottenham. Personally, didn't think we was that bad against Tottenham in the first half. Again, it's one of these tricky ones where you just never know with Arsenal.
Well, we're a team that really thrives on momentum and confidence. So, and our opening to the season probably couldn't have been much worse. Against yourselves, and no disrespect to yourselves, but we've got Chelsea and Man City straight after that. But having said no disrespect to yourselves, you're going to have your towels right up. You're going to be right up for it. And the confidence is low for Arsenal. Then, you know, I've seen so many times before that's where we struggle. You're going to come out all guns blazing. But then on the other hand, Arsenal, we've got a habit of just upsetting the narrative, you know, from what I'm expecting to happen and what does happen can often be two different things. So I couldn't be more on the fence, to be honest with you. I could sit here for hours saying all the outcomes that can happen after Friday and beyond, you know. But the most important thing for me is I'm looking forward to the football season starting again. I'm looking forward to football getting back to how it should be, with supporters in the stadiums. You know what we all went through last season. You know, I think now is the best time where you can actually enjoy football for what it is, what it should be. That is with the fans.
Just to finish off the pre-season stuff, I reckon I could absolutely nailed on 9 starters for Friday. And that has come out of pre-season. It's what I've watched, yeah. And I'm pretty sure what Thomas Frank's plan is. Could you do the same with the Arsenal team?
Absolutely not. No, I couldn't. Well, I know 9 players that I'd have starting anyway, yeah. but I couldn't tell you at all what our starting lineup's going to be on Friday. And one of the main reasons for that is because we still have a lot of shifting about to do with a squad. We can't really start the season. Well, we're going to have to start the season with the squad we've got, but we can't go to the end of the transfer window without at least making one addition in midfield, as far as I'm concerned. But we've got other areas to address as well. But we're a good attacking side as well. There's some positives there as well.
Okay, so listen, we're going to come onto the squad, we're going to come onto the team, we're going to come to the match in a minute. But as we're talking about the games and how happy the fans are at the moment now, we're going to go back to that Valencia game. We're going to listen to what the fans had to say on the terraces straight after the final whistle and back in the pubs afterwards after that Valencia game.
It was a great game. A very skillful Valencia side. And we were doing some stuff that I've never seen us do before. We just looked fantastic going forward. My man of the match was Vitaly Janelt. He looked superb. But some of the patterns of play we were playing, especially going forward in their third, was absolutely stunning. I was really amazed by how far we've moved forward from last year. So really great performance. I am so looking forward to Friday.
It was good. Another good workout. First team, the first start of the 11 probably starting to come together. I'd imagine that's not too dissimilar to what we'll start with on Friday. Hopefully with Tony back. I thought it was really good. Really, players are going to step up this year. We're going to get... Brian was great today. He's just taking his applause. I thought Janel was immense today in more of a free role. We look comfortable on the ball. No idea really how good Valencia are, where they are with their own preparations or how strong a team that was for them, but... a really good and enjoyable workout.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It's quite an entertaining game. Unlucky in the first half with a dreaded VAR. Oh my God, I'm not looking forward to that coming.
It's a really, really enjoyable day. I went along not really for the friendly, but just to try and get my bearings for the stadium like most others. And I thought, mate, really enjoyable. And I thought the team were a bit of a bonus. Performed great. Turned around really well. Big Frank, come on. He's going to be a favourite, isn't he? Frank Onyeka. He looked really good. Force looked stronger. I don't know, mate. I've come away with a bit more confidence than I had beforehand.
I'm not even secretly optimistic. I think we'll beat Arsenal. I think the way they play suits us. And I don't think they're very good. So I think we'll beat them.
And also another one is Janel, and we all know about him. That guy can play at any level whatsoever. He's got everything in front of him, that guy. And I'm so pleased he's wearing the red and the white, I can tell you now. Great result, great performance, and watch out, Arsenal, because we're coming for you, mate.
So, Darren, listen, you're the Premier League expert here. And I'm just wondering, Brentford, we've come up. What do we need to watch out for? What's going to be so different? And what have the previous clubs come up? What have they done or not done?
Well, it's been very difficult for clubs that have come up. You know, there's only a few that have over the last few seasons that have actually, you know, managed to actually keep their heads above water. You know, obviously we played Fulham first game of last season.
Excellent job.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that one.
Yes, we did.
And to be honest with you, they looked terrible. They looked absolutely petrified. They just looked like they wasn't on the same level as us at all. There was off the pace, completely off the pace, and I think that is the main thing. It's the technical level. It's just that level above. Even, you know, we're not even talking about, you know, the billionaires of City and Chelsea. Even like your mid to lower table teams, there's that slight difficult extra level of you know, technical ability. And the thing is, you only really learn that from the Premier League, from staying in the Premier League. That's the hard thing. But on the other hand, what you're going to have some spirit there, you know. So what you do need to do, Brentford, you need to harness that. Everything you've been speaking about tonight, about, you know, having the fans back in the stadium, about how you're buzzing for it, you need to transfer that over to the team. And I'm sure you will. You know, there's only so much you can do, because, you know, the football's played on the pitch. But there'll be games where you'll be the 12th man, literally. I know it's some silly old cliche, but you will. And that's the sort of thing that can carry you through. You've got to win your must-win games, basically. Even if it comes down to, like, writing off games against the big teams, the top teams, you know?
Yeah.
Just win your battles.
Yeah, so hear that. So, listen, I mean, as people might know out there, Brentford are known as a stats team. Like, you know, we use statistical information to try and give us a little bit of an edge. And on the Besotted podcast as well, we've got our own stats person as well. We've got Will, the spreadsheet winker.
Oh, what a winker.
Yes, he is. He's great. And so Will's coming back here, and I had a little chat with Will to see if he had a little bit of knowledge on the Premier League and maybe what Brentford needs to do and what the difference is between the Championship and the Premier League for Brentford.
Spreadsheet winker, it's a winker, and it does seem good like it pretty well should. He's a spreadsheet winker, it's a winker, and he's always putting his foot.
So, Arsenal game coming up, and it wouldn't be a Besotted podcast if we didn't call upon Will the spreadsheet winker to give us his view on the statistical side of what's going to go down at the game on Friday. Will, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good. Looking forward to the game.
Yeah, listen, I haven't chatted to you all. Listen, I've given you a little break all summer. You must have been sort of chilling out, just sort of kind of not having to crunch numbers sitting inside that little lab of yours.
Exactly, yeah. I had a month off, and unfortunately I've been coding since then. I've got a summer work project that I'm doing, so I've been coding since then, unfortunately.
That's right. So listen, let's just get straight into this, though, because, you know, all we want to do is we just want to get a little bit of a summary of where we were, because obviously we were in the Championship before. We know a lot about the Championship. We know kind of the barometer of the teams when we were playing them, where we might have been pipped against them, what we needed to do. But we're in the Premier League now, and it's all very different. So what's the main difference between the Championship and the Premier League?
Main difference is simply the quality. If you think about the quality of the players that you're going to have in the Premier League, the one I always come back to is Heung-min Son, right? He basically broke XG models last year because his finishing was so ridiculously elite. You know, a chance that would have been, say, a 10 or a 20% chance for most players, Heung-min Son was putting away at sort of 30 or 40 plus percent. So his finishing was just that elite that he kind of just broke those models. So the quality of the players is going to be a lot better. The other thing I think is the match tempo. That's going to be a heck of a lot higher. You know, we think of ourselves as quite a kind of high pressing, kind of fast paced team. Even Arsenal, who didn't do all that well last year, had a higher match tempo than us last year. You know, and we were right at the top end of the Championship, and they were kind of in the middle part of the pack in the Premier League, and they had a higher match tempo than us. So that's going to be a big adjustment for the players, I think, is just the tempo, the speed of the games that they're going to be playing.
It's interesting that, you know, and I'm just wondering, because obviously you're talking about the match tempo, you're talking about us coming inside there and in effect trying to basically compete. How do Brentford lie in comparison to teams in the Premier League? I mean, sometimes I know we talk about the Benham table, which is the sort of World League table, where you get pitted against teams from all around the world. So you get an idea of how you kind of match it against them, even if you're in different leagues. So I'm just wondering, where do Brentford lie in comparison to these Premier League teams?
So we're 65th at the moment. We have an SPI, I don't exactly know what that acronym means, actually, of 67, exactly the same as Southampton, obviously Premier League team. We're doing very, very well at the start of the season last year before falling away quite badly. 66.8 is Burnley. And then there's actually Valencia, who played and I think, you know, outplayed a lot of the time at the weekend on 66.6. So very, very similar scores to them. Newcastle just ahead of us on 67.8. Actually, for some reason, I don't know, small, tiny tin pot championship team called Fulham on 68 above us. I don't know what's going on with that.
I think they're probably using last season, the fact that they're in the Premier League. Maybe that's what they're using there. And things might change after the first week or the first or second week of the season, maybe.
Let's hope so. Yeah, I mean, it still has us listed as a championship side on here, but there we go.
Yes. So I mean, in effect, I mean, and looking at other teams as well, because obviously Arsenal are in there as well. So we're going to, you know, we're pitting ourselves against Arsenal. And how big, you know, if you're using, okay, listen, you know, we're just using this as a bit of a barometer here. But how big is the gap, according to this statistical model here, between us and Arsenal?
So the gap is pretty big. Arsenal are up in 13th, just ahead of Inter Milan and Juventus and Sevilla, who are all obviously kind of, you know, giants of the European game. Inter Milan, who won the Scudetto this year. Juventus, who obviously got Ronaldo playing for them. And 538 reckon that Arsenal are just about on a par or slightly better with those two. So it is going to be, well, they reckon it's a very big gap. The thing is, it's one game, right? It's the start of the season, so everything's all a little bit kind of loose, and anyone's guess what's going on. But it's one game, and I reckon we can give a good account of ourselves on Friday.
Okay, so listen, Brentford, you know, where are our strengths, and where will we be able to match teams in the Premier League?
So our strengths are, even though I was mentioning about our match tempo being lower than Arsenal's, our match tempo is very high. We play fast football, which is always going to be a benefit against teams like, for example, Burnley, who are kind of quite susceptible to that sort of style of play. If you look at our XG, we've got one of the highest XG differentials. We had the highest XG differential in the Championship last year.
And what does that mean?
So the XG differential is just the XG4, so the XG that your attackers create, minus the XG that your opponents create against you. So ours last year was 1.73 versus 0.87, so about 0.9 thereabouts. If you look at Arsenal, theirs was only 0.3. So we were a lot higher in terms of creating more chances than we were conceding than, for example, Arsenal were.
But of course, the difference is that they were in the Premier League and we were in the Championship.
Exactly, yeah. That's what makes these stats very, very difficult to kind of compare. But it does give you a kind of idea, especially when you're thinking about teams like Burnley, especially with regards to what they're creating, right? Because they have quite a similar squad strength to us, or SPI and 538 seem to think they do. They were only creating 1.13 XG last season. We were creating 1.73, right? So taking away, you know, what they conceded from those Premier League attacks and all that sort of stuff, it does give you some sort of idea as to how we're going to measure up against these guys this year.
Okay, and so ask the question as well, where are our weaknesses and what do we have to watch out for in this league?
So we're going to have to watch out for elite players, right? We're going to of a higher quality than our team has ever played against before, apart from possibly in a couple of, you know, very fleeting cup appearances like the game against Spurs last year, for example. The players are just you know, are just that much better, and the quality is that much higher. You've got people who are going to be thinking about Champions League and players like Kane and Grealish playing for City and Spurs, who are thinking about Golden Boot at the start of the season, right? You know, these are established Premier League players who are in their international sides at the top of their game. So we're going to need to look out for the quality of the players. The other thing we're going to need to look out for is that the tempo of the games is going to be a hell of a lot higher. You know, there are some teams like City and probably Chelsea and probably Liverpool who will just be able to rip through our midfield and defence, and we're going to need to to be able to deal with that. The recovery runs from our defenders are going to need to be there, and our midfielders are going to need to be very, very good at stopping those kind of quick passing moves and counter-attacks and stuff like that. It's going to be a big adjustment.
The question, because you're talking about, you know, Liverpool ripping through our defence and our midfield, which is that's quite worrying, actually. But the question I'll ask you, though, is that, you know, obviously, we've got some really good players. We played some great football last season as well. We've seen us play some great football in the pre-season friendlies as well. So some people are saying that the Premier League may actually kind of suit Brentford. I'm thinking, what players exactly do you think will really prosper from being in the Premier League as compared to the Championship, and why?
So I think your kind of ball-playing centre-halves are going to do really, really well. Players like Aya and Ethan Pinnock, who can maraud out of the centre of defence with the ball, break the lines of the attack and kind of run forward into the midfield and make those sort of progressive passes that we like so much. I think they're going to really suit the Premier League. I think, you won't necessarily have big lumps of kind of strikers who'll just sit on them all day like you might have had in the Championship. I think that they'll have more kind of license to do that. We'll also need them to do that more, right? Because you're not just going to be able to lump the ball up to Tony quite as often as we might have done at times last year, especially in our kind of more fallow attacking periods. So we're going to need those players to step up, like Chris and like Pontus and like Ethan. I think that those three centre-backs, whether it's a back three or a back four, are going to be very, very important for us this year.
Okay, so look, Arsenal, we're playing them on Friday night. Obviously we'd love to get a result, but at the end of the day, we don't really want to lose. But we need to know what's good and bad about Arsenal. So, you know, from a statistical point of view, what are their strengths and how do they compare to Brentford?
So their strengths, obviously, it's, you know, the old classic Arsenal, they always walk it into the net. It is actually true in this case. They have had a lot of possession, had an average possession percentage of 53% last year, which was actually only just short of what we managed in the Championship a division down. They don't go long very often with regards to passes. They favour kind of short passing moves. And obviously, there was a lot made of it last year. Arteta's teams favour crossing. So our centre-backs and our big midfielders and our big strikers like Ivan, for example, are going to need to really be on their toes with regards to cutting out those crosses, because that's the way that they like to attack, despite the fact that they don't really have a particularly big centre-forward. I don't really know why Arteta's quite so obsessed with it, but there we go, that's how they play. Their weaknesses, they conceded quite a lot of XG. They conceded 1.22 on average per game. The other thing that is a weakness is Bernd Leno, their goalkeeper, with regards to his expected kind of goals, his expected goals conceded and his actual goals conceded, right? So basically ranking the kind of quality of the chances that the strikers had against him with regard and comparing that to the chances that he actually saved. He didn't do that well. In fact, he was kind of in the lower half of the goalkeepers in the table last year. So he's definitely a weakness for them. And in terms of their strengths, I'd definitely say their kind of short passing game and their crossing.
Okay, so big game Friday night. Arsenal coming down to New Griffin Park. Looking at all the information that you've got, you've been inside your lab. You've come out. You've come out with your formulas and everything like that. How do you see this game panning out?
I think it's going to be an exciting game, actually. I think that, you know, as we saw last year and the year before and in the year before that even, bees tend to enjoy it when teams come and play us at football, right? We don't tend to enjoy particularly grinding out wins, or, you know, when Forest came down 2 years ago and just sat back and nicked a jammy goal and managed to beat us twice just based on that. I think Arsenal will come out and they'll try and play football because they've got the players that they're able to do that. They've got good players, they've got quality players. So I think it'll be an exciting game in terms of that. I think that we do need to be careful of players like Aubameyang and Bukayo Saka, because they are just absolutely quality players. So if we can keep those two in particular kind of quiet with regards to goal scoring and kind of setting up chances and doing things like that, I think we'll probably do all right.
So listen, Will, thanks a lot for that. Good bit of information. We'll have you back on the podcast week in and week out, giving us your little spreadsheet winker section, as we call it, your statistical lowdown on what's going down with Brentford. That was Will, the spreadsheet winker.
Spreadsheet winker. He's a winker.
And he's always putting his
book. So that was Will, the spreadsheet winker. Will Allsop there as well. And he's going to be back on more podcasts as well. week in and week out as well, just talking the stats side of things and just giving us a bit of a lowdown as to what's going down on the statistical side of Brentford. But it's interesting, you know, he plucked out a few things there, you know, Will, you know, saying that, you know, we're going to, you know, we're going to find it harder because, you know, teams are out there, they just pass the ball around, you know, the quality and the tempo, as you know about that, it could be something that Brentford's going to have to be able to deal with as well. What I thought was quite interesting as well, though, is that, you know, he talked about Arsenal, you know, and, you know, when they compared to Brentford, you know, possession and crosses is where, you know, he says that the bonus is going to be. I mean, but I'm just thinking for you, the Allards, you know, what Will was talking about there, what kind of sort of kind of, you know, made you sort of think?
Well, I suppose he sort of said that, I mean, he talked about the teams we might finish around. So I think it was like Southampton, Newcastle, Burnley. I think that's quite interesting. In my head, I've got Newcastle as being relegation potential, so I don't really want to be around Newcastle. The other two, I'm less sort of clear on.
But it's interesting because I thought that as well, but then I was talking to, I think it was the Redmen TV, where I said that I'd put Newcastle down for relegation, and they said that they actually had a bit of a storming run to the season because they signed a player and that worked to the back end of the season, and they actually kind of saved them, and actually they sort of finished about sort of 12th or something like that. So they said they actually did.
They had an unbelievable start as well. Do you remember? Like they had this mad sort of run at the beginning where they got almost enough points to get them well away from it. I think they were sitting in the top eight or something, although apparently they weren't playing very well at all. So maybe if they hadn't have had that start, it could have ended up a bit differently. But again, you know, I'll be honest, I don't watch much Premier League football. I haven't for the last... Well, I just don't.
None of us do.
So sometimes I find it quite hard to get my head around it. I know I watched Newcastle come to Brentford in December, and they were bloody awful. and I remember watching that thinking, well, you know, I'm sure we can compete.
We can do something here.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest, that was their only chance of success that season. Because they were in a reasonable position in the league, it wasn't like they were, as far as I recall, resting loads of players. And they ended up with 26 strikers on the pitch trying to get an equaliser. Andy Carroll came on three times, from what I remember. and booted the ball over the crossbar.
So, Darren, from yourself, I mean, I know that you're sort of kind of... you're a little bit nervous on how Arsenal's prospects are, but I'm just wondering, because like I said to you, we do a lot of sort of kind of, you know, we do a lot of stat stuff, and from what he's saying to me, he's saying to me, listen, you know, you can't knock, you know, you've got some great players out there, you still do play some good football. Yeah, some people saying that you might have some, you know, your strikers ain't on fire, but as far as we're concerned, you know, you buy players for £72 million, you know what I'm saying, we're jumping up and down buying a player for £13 million, that's the most we've ever spent, so you still see that there's a massive gulf there, don't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely, and like I was saying to you earlier, you need to be able to stay in the Premier League to be able to compete, you know, to continue staying in the Premier League, you know, and to be able to, the money that comes with it as well will obviously help. I mean, as much as you'd love to think that money isn't the most important thing in football, you know, it is. When you're moving up to the Premier League, it's a huge gulf between. But yeah, again, like I just reiterate earlier on, you need to win your battles down there, like with around the teams that you think you're going to be finishing around, you know. And they're the games you need to concentrate on. And I can see you doing well. Again, it's about having a good start. It's about not too good a start, hopefully, on Friday. I mean, after Friday, from the second game onwards, having a good start. You know, and just not getting disheartened either, you know, because you did the. We talk about the technical levels in the Premier League, but what the Premier League doesn't have is a sort of like heart and fight that you guys have got in the leagues down from the Premier League. You know, you have to fight to get up into the Premier League. You're gonna be fighting to stay in there, and some of the hardest games as an Arsenal fan I've seen us play are against teams that are fighting for their lives. You know, and that will start from the beginning of the season for you.
I think you mentioned technical ability a couple of times, and I think you're right. One of the things that I think is that, and I think we saw this against Valencia, is if you give a team a chance, they will score. I think it's probably a little bit more forgiving in the Championship. Okay, and you joke, but nevertheless, I know when we play good teams, in the split. It only takes a split second or 2 seconds for an opportunity to be carved out, yeah. and it goes in the back, and you know, yeah. it goes in. And I think that's probably what I sort of worry about the most is yeah. that I don't think we can give away as many sort of opportunities as we have done, as we did do in the Championship. We'll have to tidy up a little bit there.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, you know, I'm buoyed by the people that know Brentford best, which is the people that have watched them for the last 10 years. We know that we're going to come and compete. We had a poll that finished today on Besotted. 1,500 people voted. 93% of the people that voted said we were going to survive this season. Most of them, realistically, said we were going to be bottom half. But 50% said we're going to be in that safety zone between halfway and sort of sixth or seventh from bottom. Some thought it was going to be more squeaky bum time than that, and you know we were going to survive by the skin of our teeth. But there was 8% said we were going to finish top half and really sort of thrive this season. I'm kind of in between the thriving and the comfort zone. I think we're going to come and play our football, and I think that is going to surprise a lot of teams. And I think I genuinely do believe we are better than a lot of teams that are going to be in brackets around us in that dogfight. It will be a dogfight. I'm not saying we'll be in the comfort zone all season, but I think once we found our feet, we will do more than just survive. I think we will thrive.
Okay. So listen, we're going to come back to this. We're going to come back talk about this stuff in a minute, okay? Because we're going to have another little break, going to get another little beer, and then we're going to come back afterwards. We're actually going to talk about our team and how we think that we're going to go into this pre-season, how we're shaping up overall. So we thought, tell you something, we come into the new season, we've had a pre-season between the two of us, the two teams, but we thought what we're going to do is we are going to have a look at how exactly we have come out of the pre-season and go into the season. We're going to have a look at four factors for each of the teams and see how they are. So we're going to have a look at preparation first of all. So the Allard, how do you think the Bees have prepared for the season? Good, bad, and give us marks out of 10.
Well, if it's out of 10, I would say it's very close to 10. I don't really know how you could prepare better than the way we have in terms of the games we played. We built it up slowly and then we started to hit our stride, and then we sort of played, I guess, you know, like I've already said, there was a good reason to go and play Man United away, and then you got the West Ham Valencia games, and both of them I think gave us the opportunity to literally try out what we were going to do in the Premier League. I think obviously Valencia aren't a Premier League side, but probably you're going to struggle to play a Premier League side the weekend before it all gets going. So you play a decent Spanish side, and so I would say in preparation in those respects, brilliant. And also I think in terms of the way we rotated the players through those games, and you could sense that we were gradually building to almost the solution of where we're going to be on Friday. And I think we tried a couple of things. It was a slight change at half time against Valencia, and we'll twist one way or the other for Friday's game.
Darren?
Not really. Not impressed at all with our pre-season. We don't come out of it very well at all. We had so much work to do over the summer as far as the squad goes, and as much as you know, I'd like to hope that things will go the way they should do before the window actually closes, it shouldn't have been left this long. And as far as our football goes pre-season, it's been terrible, it's been disjointed, but we've got players coming back. You know, we've got Saka, we've got Smith Rowe, we've got Martinelli that's come back winning a gold medal, the next day he's back in training, so he's obviously raring to go. I can still see a lot of positives.
Give us a mark out of 10.
Mark out of 10. Sorry, I was just trying to talk my way through it then, because I was trying to give you mark out of 10 coming out pre-season. I can't go higher than a 3, to be honest with you.
Laney?
I'm going to go an 8, pushing a 9. Allard's kind of explained pretty much, you know, what I was thinking too. Considering we had really important players playing at the Euros, and they came back very late. We haven't seen Jensen at all. Norgaard only played, you know, really a cameo against West Ham, and he played a chunk, you know, most of the most of the Valencia game. Devasoglu and Force, I think they're going to be really important this season. They've been given decent amount of minutes, I think, in the build-up. I'd like to have seen a little bit more of Christopher Aya. He only played the last game, really. But we look ready. We do look ready, and I am pleased to see the back of the pre-season, because I want to. I think we're ready to crack on. So yeah, a solid eight for me, Bill.
Okay, for me, I'm going to go solid eight as well. You guys have given a lot of the reasons as well. I was just happy that we got in there. I mean, I started off out very lucky to have gone to AFC Wimbledon, like I said, after getting an invite from the chairman. So I saw that game, and that was very much almost like the old school Brentford games when you go to a pre-season friendly. Yeah, that and Boreham Wood. And in a way, I was expecting that to be our pre-season, because that's what we're used to. Then all of a sudden we went bang, Man United, West Ham, Valencia, and it just took it up another level. So for me, for the fans, the fact we were able to get in the stadium, we saw some great football, we saw the players who were very confident what they're doing. I thought the preparation was absolutely fantastic for myself. Now personnel, I'm going to go back the other way around now. Laney, personnel, you know what you're saying about personnel, and what marks out of 10? Oh god damn it, you know,
excuse
he's
me.
Telling you something that personnel over here ain't doing too yeah, well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know?
Medical personnel.
That's right.
I think we've done our business pretty strong, you know. We spent a lot of money for Brentford. Yeah, relative. We've got a lot of money to spend, I guess. Absolutely comes in with glowing references. Miles Pert Harris, we've not seen a huge amount of, but he's going to be a grower all this season. Visa, he only arrived yesterday, so you know, really excited to see more of him. You know, it's and Onyeka, he's you know, as I said earlier, he's you know, the crowd are already singing about him. So all in all, you add that to you know players that. You know, got us promoted. I think Canos, a big, massive season for him, and Bumo again. He looks like a new player as well. So you know, we've got Josh De Silva. Hopefully, he's going to make an appearance later on in the season. You know, we've got all the ingredients there, Bill.
Right,
so,
that's it.
Eight again.
I'm going to go, Darren.
Personnel. Well, almost answered that with the last question, really. Pre-season, it's 2 out of 10, and both of those points go to Ben White, because we've done nothing really that we needed to do up till now. I can't really say any more than that.
The Elod.
I'm sort of going 7. I think it was good to get two big signings in early on, Onyeka and Aja. Both of them played, you know, a good part of the last pre-season game, so that's great, because sometimes you make these signings a week or two before the season starts and you literally have to throw them in the first game, or you decide not to. And then Wiesa sounds really exciting, you know. So we'll see how that figures out. I don't know where he fits in. Maybe he plays in a Carling Cup game, which I would imagine is in a couple of weeks' time. I haven't checked, but I know the draws after midweek this week. So that'd be an opportunity for him. And yeah, more or less what Dave says. I feel like we might be missing one or two. Probably, to be honest, we always talk about right back and left back, and we got Rico Henry, who's a solid left back, and then we got Roslev, who's a right back with little experience, but may well come on this season. And apart from that, we're sort of fitting other players into those positions. So I still think we probably need a bit of cover there. And therefore, I give it a 7.
Okay, giving it a 7. And for me, I'm going to give it an 8. And I'm excited because, again, listen, the players that they brought in, I think they're actually very good. From what I can see, you know, Laney, you guys have all talked about them, so I'm not going to repeat what you said. The one thing, like I said, I'm slightly concerned about, like I said, two positions which we were looking at. We were looking at a winger from last season and the left winger that hadn't come in. And obviously, Visa came in at the last minute as well. And we're going to have, you know, somebody talk about Visa. Chris is going to talk about him from Lorient, the podcast there as well. From over in France, he's going to talk about him a little bit later on the podcast, who says that he's a very good player, so maybe that's covered up for us as well. But it also looks like, you know, we're talking about the right back, because there's only a few positions missing. Right back Alexander Barr, there's big hot rumours about him coming in, and you know, at Besotted we don't actually put rumours out there, so we only do things if they're strong. So Alexander Barr is a right back who looks like he could be coming into the camp as well, which means that we might have areas covered off. So at the moment now, I'm giving Brentford an 8, because we're early before the season. The players have got good time to get training in, and I think they've done a good job on that. Just quickly going around, fitness-wise? What are you saying?
To be honest, I thought we looked fit against Valencia. We've had a couple of niggles, but you know it's pretty good to get through pre-season with just a couple of niggles. And the only player we haven't seen is Jensen, really, apart from obviously Wiese, who's the new signing. Everyone else has had games. De Silva, obviously, but I mean, you can't include him in this discussion because of his long-term injury.
Out of 10?
I would say fitness 8. Yeah,
Darren.
Biggest concern for me is Thomas Partey, who I said before was going to be a big player for us this season, and he's just gone and got injured, and he's out for a few weeks. Other than that, really can't see many other problems. Can only give us a 5 out of 10 because again, I've not really seen much in pre-season to give a higher mark than that.
Laney.
Fitness wise, I think they look sharp. They've looked sharp all the way through. You know, we've got a 2-2 draw at Old Trafford, where we really did push them hard towards the end, so we finished really strong. We came back from 1-0 down against Valencia, and I think we finished that game pretty strong. West Ham, we were knocking on the door quite a lot. You know, that's probably the weakest of the three, you know, games on our point of view. We didn't look great up top. We weren't getting the ball to Ivan Toney. You know, so Tony's not looked 100% fit, I'd say, but I don't think he wants to get injured. You know, he's probably playing a little bit within himself. He knows he's a starter. He's got nothing to prove to anyone. So, you know, Friday night, he'll be absolutely potty for it. And, you know, so I'm going to give us a 9. You know, and the players that have come back from the Euros, there's only Jensen that looks like he's injured. The other three, look raring to go. So, yeah, thankfully, there's no real big worries. So, yeah, 8 out of 10.
And for me, I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10, actually, as well. You know, we've all said the reasons why, and you know, it's looking good for us, and you know, a couple of players out injured, but I'm thinking 8 out of 10. Now coming back to the fans now, because this is the one that is, we've got to give marks out of 10 as we're going into the season as to the fans, what they're going to contribute, how they're feeling. I have to actually give the fans going into this 10 out of 10, actually, because I think there's an enormous amount of pottiness going into this season. We're absolutely gagging for it, you know what I'm saying? And we've had, like I said to you, a lot of warm-up, you know, with the Bournemouth game back into the season. You know, me and Laney, like I said to you, being at the European Championships, we've been to all the games there as well as a lot of people. So we've had a lot of kind of just warming up into that. So I'm going to give the fans 10 out of 10. Going back around here, Laney, what are you saying on the fans front?
Yeah, it's got to be 10. Even the Frank Out Brigade, I think half of them have had Tommy Frank tattoos. And the other lot are waiting for us to draw a match before they start ranting again. So, yeah, you know, I think it's complete unity, which is rare. And you know, again, you know, most of the team and most of the management and the coaching staff have got nothing more to prove because they got us to the top table, which was always going to be how they were going to be judged. Now their task is changed now. It's about keeping us there, but that was never the benchmark. The benchmark has changed. So so going back to the question, 10 out of 10, and it's important that it is 11 out of 10 on Friday night. I want that stadium to be absolutely rocking and rolling, and we saw the noise that can be generated with 5,000, so you put 17,000 in there, it's going to be something special.
Darren, what's the Arsenal saying?
Well, a lot of people that know me, on Twitter especially, well, if they're listening to this, be surprised by this, but I'm going to give our fans 10 out of 10 as well. Firstly, you'll be making a lot of noise on Friday night, like you say, Dave, but you'll experience Arsenal away fans as well, and they're brilliant. They're the best, as far as I'm concerned, the best in the country. You know, we could be playing badly, and they will just give their all. And, you know, we've had a... I'll give every single football fan in the country a 10 out of 10, to be honest with you, for what everyone's had to put up with throughout the last 18 months or so. So, yeah, the online ones, you know, it's a bit different. But, yeah, 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, lads.
Yeah, certainly. I'm going to back you lot up. I mean, I'm going to say 10 for the ones I pay attention
10.
To. It's 10s all round.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's very Torval and Dean.
That's
obviously
right.
Sixes, I can't remember. I just think that there's this massive wave of positivity. I think that anybody who's sensible, and we always have to remember the vast majority of our fans are sensible, we'll give the players and the management time this season to adjust, and they might need that. You know, it'd be great to think we're going to hit the ground running and bag some points in the first five games and get ourselves into a position where things are looking good, but there's no guarantee that's going to happen, and it's all about sticking together on this one for sure.
Definitely sticking together. So I mean, as you know, we've got good relationships with people at the club. You know, we chat to them all the time. You know, we had in this very same pub here, we had our directors of football, Phil Giles and Rasmus Ankerson down there, and they sat down, they gave us, you know, we did a live podcast in front of 60 fans in the garden there. Had a right laugh. If you check it out, Pride of West.London, it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't checked it out as yet. So they were down here as well, and we bumped into Rasmus after the game at Valencia on Saturday as well, and asked him a few little cheeky questions, including how does he think we're going to get on against Arsenal. This is what Rasmus, the Brentford director of football, said about the Arsenal game last Saturday when we bumped into him.
Listen, Arsenal on Friday, we're all getting excited. I mean, I'm telling you something, most people ain't going to work on Friday. Most people, they're taking the day off, the afternoon off, whatever like that. They're going to be down there from very early. Obviously, very big day for you, exciting day for you, because as a club, this is what you've been looking at, is like the pinnacle, the first game in the Premier League. How do you think it's going to go?
No, I think we'll do well. I think we're ready. We had a good pre-season. Everyone has been looking forward to this game. It's been, you know, but it's still, it's like the first game of a long season. But you know, I would lie if I don't say we look forward to it. It'll be a special experience, first Premier League game at this stadium. So very excited about it, but also everyone is focused. We're gonna put in a good performance.
Lim players out on the pitch there, but you know, sometimes there's one player that you think is going to be a key player. Elod, who's that for you?
At the moment, I think it's going to be Frank Onyeka. I think he's going to move us from defence into attack quicker than we have done in recent years.
Frank the Tank Onyeka, that is.
Frank the Tank, yes.
Darren?
For me, it's Emil Smith-Rowe.
Emil Smith-Rowe. We were very happy with Emil Smith-Rowe last year when he scored for Huddersfield against Fulham, wasn't it? Yeah, in that game. Oh, we were jumping around like fools, we were in that game. It was fantastic.
He's going to be a big player for us, definitely.
Yeah.
Signing? No, player.
Mbeumo. I think it's a huge season for Mbeumo. I think he's actually at his level. I'm going to love watching him this year.
Okay. And also for me, I've got to go, but you've stolen my Frank the Tank. I just love the Frank the Tank.
And I had no prep. You've been thinking about this question all day, and I nicked it from you.
So I'm going to pick someone else, actually.
So you've given up on Will Grigg now.
Listen,
the tank now.
Will Grigg will be back. Trust me, he will be back. You know what I'm saying? So who else going to go for? I'll tell you something. I'm going to go for Jan Elt. Okay. I think it's a big city, because the thing is, I wasn't sure if he's going to play, Jan Elt. And all of a sudden, he's come out and he's looking like a proper top player as well, who looks like he's thinking Premier League, whatever. I might have only cost £500,000, but I don't care. I still fit in here. So for me, because I've had to do that for no prep as well, so I'm going to go Jan Elt. But listen, you know, we're talking about, you know, all these players as well, but what I'm going to say is that there's one player also that we have signed very recently. He was at the game on Saturday. The rumours are out that he was in. There are photographs of him sort of kind of like, you know, in the stadium taking photographs and doing the old touristy thing. You know, turisto, wasn't it? Like, you know, Johan Wiese as well, who, like I said, we signed from France. Again, he signed him for a lot of money. It's all undisclosed, so we don't really know exactly.
It's higher than 10, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's higher than 10. Higher, lower. So, yeah. So we signed Wiese from France as well. And, you know, we talked about it on our last podcast. He's finally in the house, as we say. Signed a couple of days ago. Very, very exciting player. Now, the thing about him, like I said to you, he's the left winger that we're looking for. And all of a sudden, we thought, tell you something, we need to have a little bit of info on Lisa, because we don't really know anything from him, because he's come from France. So I thought I'd go out and I'm going to find another chum, because, you know, I always like to find chums all over the world. And I've found my chum, Chris, from La Taverne podcast. It's Lorient podcast.
Sorry?
Lorient. Okay.
One more time.
Lorient. Okay. And that's not Lorient, Leighton Orient, actually. We've actually signed it from Lorient in France. Okay. Chris from La Taverne podcast. He's going to give us the lowdown on Wiese.
Hi Billy, hello everyone, this is Chris from La Tavane. I'm the host of this podcast about football club Lorient. Lorient is a French team playing in the Premier League, Ligue 1 as we name it. And you have one of our players now, who is Johan Wissa. A few words about Lorient. We have been in the Premier League, in the Ligue 1 for maybe 13 years on and off. And for the last 2 years, we went up. Some famous players came in from Lorient. I think the most famous one is Kevin Gamero, who had a great career over there in Spain, Atletico Madrid, Sevilla, Valencia. And in England, you may know Lamine Kone, you may know Didier Ndong, who had played for Sunderland for a few years. What can I tell you about Johan Wissa? Well, first of all, before speaking about the player, let's speak about the man. You have a great, great guy, always playing 100%, always cool with the fans. Very, very good guy. He will be missed here over there at Lorient. He's a very versatile player. You mentioned to me earlier that he doesn't score many goals. I think that's true, and also it's not true. He scored 10 goals last year in our first year in Premier League for a long time. I think one of his weaknesses, he needs to be more regular over a season, but when he's in front of the goal, he's really, really good. So I'm not worried about that. Versatile players, good dribbling, good speed, playing on the left side, but is also good number two strikers, helping your number nine. He's very technical players, fighting spirit, respect the coach orders or you say that, I don't remember. Respect the coach decision, let's say. And very skilled when it's time to conclude. A lot of assists. He played 130 games for us. And really, really good player. Really important in our system. He needs to improve his regularity over the course of a season. A bit afraid about the physical dimension of Premier League. We know that Premier League is a bit more physical that Ligue 1, so he needs to increase his strength, and also on the long balls he needs to improve, especially on the long passes he needs to improve. But overall, guys, you get a very, very skilled player, fast players. He sees the game, he knows when to go in spaces. So really, really very good player you get. I don't remember the price. I don't think if it's official yet or not. I think we're speaking about £10 million. I think it's a very good deal you got, and we'll miss him, so we will follow his season over there at Brentford. Cheers, guys.
So that was Chris from Le Tavern podcast.
And what podcast? What team was that?
Lorient podcast. I say, you know, not Leighton Orient, but Lorient podcast. You know, we've moved on from Rennes, which was the old school. This is now the new school, as it is. And there's a few other players that come out from Lorient as well, isn't there, Darren?
There is indeed. Yeah, Laurent Koscielny and Guendouzi as well. Right. I've got another link.
Okay.
Oh, Koscielny was. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to talk about the other guy, but.
So 50%?
Yeah, 50%.
So there's a 50-50 chance that Visa's going to actually be any good?
Well, I've also got another link to Lorient as well. My dad once had a trial for Lorient.
Right.
The one in East London.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
Yeah,
right.
I've been told I'm not allowed to do my Moses Adebayor's, was the last player we signed for Lorient.
No, of course you could do it, actually. Of course you could do it. Not Lorient.
That one just came to me as we were talking, so sorry about that.
So listen, really, actually interesting. He's really excited about it. The main thing, like I said, he's a good bloke. He passed the dickhead policy. the no dickhead policy as well, which is definitely a very important thing. He's a team player. He really mucks in, and also he's very fast, and they reckon that he's actually going to be a massive addition to our sides. So that is actually very, very, very exciting.
One of the things I thought was a good point was that he said that he could play as a second striker, which I think is something that we're, you know, we do need to find from a player, because I'm, you know, you always worry about what happens if Tony gets injured or whatever. And I know we got Force. I think we all agree that Force on his own up front, he probably needs to play with somebody else. So the fact that we bought another player as well as Mbromo that can do it, you know, just gives us a little bit of competition in those places too, so he can come inside and play through the middle if we need someone to. That's really important.
Most definitely. So listen, we're going to go off, we're going to have another little pint, we're going to come back and we're going to start wrapping things up, because we've been talking quite a lot about Arsenal, about Brentford, but we need to sort of just have a little bit more of a think about the game and what's going to be going down there. So listen, in a Besotted podcast without having JB, he's back from his summer holiday and he's given us a bit more facts and funk.
Hello, Jonathan Birchall back again. So it's finally happened. The Bees are in the Premier League. And for the first time in over 100 years, the name of Brentford doesn't appear on a peacetime Football League fixture list. I glance back to the playoff final, and it was 10th time lucky. Our 10th time in the playoffs, and our 10th visit to a national stadium. It was also the first time two different players had scored for us in a match in those 10 visits. Amazingly, it was only our second clean sheet in our 25 playoff matches. Thomas Frank on his second visit saw captain and centre-back Pontus Janssen lift a trophy, just as legendary manager Harry Curtis saw his captain and centre-half Joe James lift the 1942 World Cup in his second visit. We're looking forward to Friday, and our new stadium will be welcoming Arsenal. It will see our new home's record crowd, and it should be the first time we've had a home attendance of over 17,000 since Liverpool visited Griffin Park in October 1983 for a League Cup match. That attracted 17,859. The last league match exceeding 17,000 was when over 18,500 saw us draw 1-1 with Chester 50 seasons ago on the final run-in as we achieved promotion from the 4th Division. Griffin Park's record gate for a league match was an incredible 38,535 set in 1938 when they saw a 1-0 win over Arsenal.
So that was JB with his facts and his funk. Darren,
you like a bit of funk,
don't you?
I love a bit of funk, yeah.
Funk in the morning or funk in the evening?
Funk any time of the day.
Sounds all good to me. The Allards, JB, sock it to me.
Well, to be honest, the thing with JB is that I never feel like I can actually check any of his facts.
That's because he makes them all up.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently that was... The really interesting one was that was only our second clean sheet in 25 playoff games. And to be honest, I probably would have spent some energy trying to work out what the other one was if it wasn't for the fact we don't have to care about the playoff games anymore.
Is it Huddersfield away?
Yes, it's the second time. Certainly not the first time. Yes, maybe.
I just made it up.
But apparently only one other clean sheet. Amazing stuff.
Which is actually, if you think about it, the amount of games that we've actually played, that's a phenomenal amount of games that we've played.
Out of 25 games, only 2 clean sheets in playoff games.
So it goes to show you why we've lost so many playoffs, basically, doesn't it?
Why it took us 10 goes.
But anyway, that was JB with his facts and his funk. Listen, you'll be getting more JB, like I said to you on the podcast. Just check it out every week, prideofwest.london. But listen, guys, I think we're going to wrap this up now, because listen, we've got a game to look forward to on Friday night under the lights. We've talked a lot about it. We talked about a lot about the fans, the preparation, the game, the players who you're looking forward to, you're not looking forward to. Frank the Tank on Onyeka, you know, all sorts of stuff going on. Ben White, you know, Ben White versus Ivan Toney. Interesting matchup that's going to be, isn't it? To me, that is actually a championship matchup. You might be $50 million or pounds, dollars. God, I'm in MLS land at the moment
I'd rather pay $50 million. Yeah, saved a few quid.
It might be £50 million, but at the end of the day, mate, Ben White, as far as I'm concerned, is a Leeds United player, and Ivan Toney is a Peterborough player. So there you go. He's a Brentford player now, of course.
Nothing,
you
know what I'm saying? Yeah,
so there you go. So this is the matchup. So, but do you think that he's going to be able to handle Ivan Toney? Because Ivan's going to be like all day long, Ben White, isn't he? $50 million? Come on, I'll show you $50 million.
Well, have you seen Ben White? He's a good-looking chap, you know, for a start. he's still got to finish off Love Island this week, but we don't even know if he's going to actually start, Ben White, on Friday, you know? Because like I was saying to you earlier on, you know, you never know what's going to happen with Arsenal.
Everyone I've spoken to, Arsenal fan, think he's going to be starting on
Sunday. I think he probably will be, yeah.
He's a good defender.
He's a great defender, yeah. And I think he's definitely the sort of player that we need. And there's going to be little battles going on all over the pitch, you know? And like I keep saying, you're going to be up for it from the beginning. So our defenders are going to need to be switched on straight away, you know? But Ben White is going to have... He's going to have a lot on his hands. He's going to be one of our key players.
Give us a score prediction.
2-0 Arsenal.
Okay, 2-0 Arsenal.
Oh, don't like
that. The Allard. I mean, we talked about a little battle there. You know, what else do you see that might be kind of something key? You know, either from Brentford, from Arsenal.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing for us is that we saw against Valencia. We in the first half, he played a sort of a 3-4-3 with two defensive holding midfielders, and then in the second half we switched to 3-5-2 and we only had one holding midfielder, and I think it'd be really, I'd be quite fascinated, probably unlike a lot of people, but that's just the way I watch football, to see whether we go with one or two holding midfielders against Arsenal. I suspect we might go with two for this one, just to feel out the Premier League. Yeah.
Against our that'll be some game.
I think if we go with the one, then it's a real sort of statement of intent, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And score prediction?
Score prediction for me, I think I'm going to say 1-1.
Okay, Blaney.
I was just thinking about my score prediction.
You still got the
unmatched. I'm not going to do the ask about face, but I was actually thinking, yeah, I'd be happy with 1-0. I think we're going to do better than that. I think we will. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit cagey to start with. We'll come out the traps confident, but the last thing we want to do is let the game get away from us. Not even joking aside, but respect is due. You know, Arsenal are one of the greatest teams in this division. You know, never been relegated. No chance of them being relegated. They are one of the sort of grand old clubs of this division, and they are quality. So we have to prove that we are better than them on the night, and I think we are capable of doing that. I think adrenaline and the crowd and the occasion is going to get us through. This isn't a team of bottlers, and I think I'll take a draw right now. I think we can edge a win. So I'm going to probably agree with you at 1-0, but I'm going to actually, because you've bagged it, I'll go 2-1 Brentford.
Oh, whoa!
Have I checkmated you?
Oh, you checkmated me.
He's got to go 3-1 Brentford now, hasn't he?
I'm saying, I don't know what to do now.
3-0
Arsenal. Yeah, that's right. So listen, right, for me, I think, you know, I think one of the key battles is to see exactly how our central defenders are going to do in this game. You know, Asia, like I said to you, you know, we signed him fairly recently. I think he must have had a bit of a holiday, came in. He hasn't played that many matches, competitive matches. At the beginning of the game, there's a few moments where you sort of thought, you know, what's going on here? But eventually, as he grew into his game, I mean, I'm not being funny, I think he wanted to be Ivan Toney at one stage, you know what I'm saying? He's right up the pitch, loves to get the ball at feet, comfortable with the ball at his feet, playing the ball out. And beside Pinnock as well, he's just such a brilliant player. That player's come on so far since I saw him in the playoff final against, what's it, East Thurrock for Dulwich Hamlet, about 5 years ago, I think it was. Like I'm saying, and now he's playing Premier League football. So seeing those two together, and also Pontus Janssen in the middle there, how they're going to deal with the Arsenal attack, I think that's going to be really key. It's going to be really, really interesting. I keep going on about Frank the Tank Onyeka, because he only came on for about 15 minutes on Saturday, and he was all over the place. Like, he's properly, like, he's a Duracell bunny, as I say, and he was all over the place, and people haven't had time to really scout him or do anything about that. So he's going to be surprising a few people when he comes off there, because I'm sure, even though he came off the bench, I'm sure he's going to play on Saturday. So for me, those are the few key players that I'm going to be seeing out there. I'm hearing what Laney's saying as well. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I'd be delighted with a draw, because we can come back here and we could be drinking all night in the Globe Air afterwards. But I'd just like to think that, you know, maybe we might just nick it. And maybe I might go for a little 1-0. Go for a little keep it tight and then nick it
1-0. What are you saying there, boys? So you're all looking around.
No, that's fine. I'll take all the scenarios. Yeah.
And to be honest, I think if Frank Onyeka plays, it means we are going for my second plan, which is where we actually have a go.
Yeah.
And we only play one holding midfielder.
No pressure on Frank the Tank then.
No.
I think if he plays, then that's a different game plan to if he doesn't play. That's kind of the way I see it at the moment.
I just hope we shine. You know, I hope there's a lot of talking points after the game. Don't want a dull 0-0. And you know, I can see us. We could get turned over 2-0 quite easily as well. You know, anything's possible. I'm just hoping the occasion is something we rise to. And from what I've seen in the last year and the last 4 months after the Wembley game in particular, we're more than capable of rising to this.
I think we'll approach this the right way. There's no sign at all during pre-season that we're going to approach this as safety first, survival. This is not the way we're going into this season.
Yeah. And I hope that's the way it does go as well, because I'm so happy for you guys. You know, I've got friends at Brentford fans, and you know, it's great to see you guys.
Are you happy enough for us to give us a win?
No, let's not get carried away, man.
I think from an Arsenal perspective, you probably quite want Brentford to play that way, because we will be easier to pick off.
And we want Arsenal to play that way.
Yeah,
well.
I think that's the way to go.
Look, it's the opening game in a Premier League season. Let's just hope it's a great game. And we can all enjoy it. And you know what? Even if it isn't a great game, we'll enjoy it. You'll all be back here in the pub, won't you?
Oh, we'll be there before or after. No one's
I'll be sitting there drowning my sorrows in my front room.
Listen,
this is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. Listen, I've really enjoyed this. I'm sitting out here in the sun. The police are going past. Look, you know, we've having beers, you know, football in the background. Like, you know, so this is actually great. We're actually talking about football. We're smiling. I'm sitting here with my chums around here. I've got the Allard in the house.
Yeah, hey, go you be.
We got Delaney in the house.
Good evening.
We got Darren, the Arsenal fan, in the house.
Hello, the Gunners.
That's right. And my name's Billy Grubb, Billy the Bee here as well. So listen, you can check us out. Please subscribe to Besotted, because you'll get them downloaded to your phone, to your laptop, to wherever else it is. Also, go to the Sky Q box and go Besotted, and all of a sudden, what will pop up is all the Brentford content as well.
All our crap.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You can go and get your Brentford Premier League t-shirts if you go to the besotted.com website
and
as well.
Jackets.
And your jackets. There's some new jackets coming out as well. And also, if you go to Ko-fi, because if you like what we're doing, you can buy us a beer by going to besotted.com/beer. So listen, thanks very much for listening, everybody. We're going to be having more and more podcasts coming out. The next podcast is going to be straight after the game Friday night. We're going to be recording fans on the terraces, in the pubs, and everything like that. It's going to go up either Friday night or Saturday morning. But other than that, I've really enjoyed this. This is really marvellous. I'm wonderful. We've got Arsenal coming down in the first game of the Premier League.
Brentford FC, come on, you, come on, you, Brentford, come on, you bees, come on, you, Brentford, come on, sit on your bees. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.